All right, welcome back to the show. Russ Evans with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on this final Sunday morning of July, making our way into the 9 o'clock hour. And, of course, that means the Inside the Rope segment. And joining me now on the line is my esteemed co-host, Patrick Joseph Rooney Jr. in Orlando this weekend. Pat, good morning to you.
Good morning, Russ. Beautiful up in Orlando. I think it's about 150 degrees.
And it's just about 9 o'clock in the morning, so it's going to get even hotter. Are you braving the parks today?
I am not braving them today. I actually tried it on Friday, Russ, and here's what I don't understand. I mean, you probably come up here, you know, as much as you will now that you're starting to have kids, but I come up here probably three times a year and have been up here 50 times, maybe more, since I moved from Philadelphia in 1992. And here's what I don't get, Russ. Some people only come here once a lifetime, and those people that pick July to come here, that once in a lifetime, need to really have some psychiatric evaluation done, because it is so brutally hot, especially from about 10 o'clock till 5. That I'm just surprised people don't drop over dead, because it is just so hot. The lines are long. I just don't understand. If you're going to come here, come in November, or come in March, or something like that.
Right.
You're only going to come once, but man, I got to give people credit, because some people, there's people here. It's crowded, so.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Somebody else is braving it.
Now, obviously, summertime is when the kids have off from school, so that's vacation time, but it is the worst time weather-wise in most of our country, especially down here in the South. So, exactly right. Better to get up there and brave the crowds in the wintertime when it's a little cooler, if you can get the kids off from school for a week or so. All right, as we do each and every week right now, it is time to go Inside the Ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go Inside the Ropes.
It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number one, we're 1 week removed from a phenomenal weekend at the British Open last week in Scotland at Turnberry. Tom Watson's runner-up finish at the British moved him to 105th in the world rankings, up 1,269 spots from his previous world ranking going into the week of 1,374. The official World Golf Ranking representatives say it is the biggest one-week jump since the rankings began in 1986. And now the RNA powers that be are scurrying to figure out a way to avoid next year's British Open being Tom's swan song at the age of 60. Peter Dawson said, quote, "I think there are many ways to phrase an exemption. I mean, one could have an extension of the age limit for any past champion who had performed particularly well." Of course, the British Open used to have an age limit of 65, but the change was made to give younger players more spots in the field a couple of years ago. Should the RNA make a change so we see Tom Watson in the British past next year? And, of course, guys younger than him, like Greg Norman, they'll be able to play past the age of 60 as well.
I kind of like that idea, Russ. I mean, you know, just like that writer said, if you can show that you're competitive, and certainly Tom Watson and Greg Norman have, then why not make some kind of special exemption? You know, they do it. The USGA does it for the U.S. Open. No, they give out special exemptions. I think, you know, if a guy like Tom Watson says, "Hey, I'd like to keep playing until I'm 65," obviously he's a draw. Obviously he helps with the ratings. I would say, yeah, I don't have a problem with that. Now, you do take a couple spots away from younger guys that might be able to get some experience and who earn their way into the field, but I think it's a good solution to an issue where, you know, obviously these guys are still competitive at age 60, which is hard for me to believe, but if they are and they, you know, they want to play in the event, then I think the RNA can make some kind of exemption up till age 65 or even age 70. So who knows, Russ? By the way, I read in the Ryder Cup standings, I think Tom Watson is now number 4, which is
oh, that's funny. And now there's two footnotes regarding Tom Watson. First of all, the season's final major, of course, the PGA Championship, will be held at Hazeltine August 13th through the 16th. Watson now 124th in the PGA point standings, which take the top 70. He also, as I mentioned, moved up to the top, to the 105th in the world rankings. PGA Championship tries to get as many players in that top 100 in their field as possible. Watson could be considered for an invitation. The PGA of America will not decide on the rest of their exemptions until August 3rd. They've already awarded spots to 17-year-old Yo Ishikawa of Japan and Tom Lehman, former Ryder Cup captain and a native Minnesotan, of course, where Hazeltine is. Hazeltine, 7,600 yards, will play as a par 72. Three of their par fives will be longer than 600 yards, so it might not be the best track for Tom Watson. Of course, he came the closest to winning the PGA Championship. That's the only major he never won, in 1978 in Pittsburgh. Shot a final round 73 to get into a playoff and lost that playoff to John Mahaffey at Oakmont. Other footnote, Seve Ballesteros, having seen Greg Norman's run last year at Birkdale and Tom Watson's run last week at Turnberry, he now is setting his sights on returning to the British Open next year at St. Andrews. Certainly, it's a long shot considering, of course, the 53-year-old is less than 6 months removed from brain surgery to remove a tumor. But, of course, all of us are pulling for him. Last time Ballesteros played in the British Open was 2001. All right, topic number two, Pat, and moving from the British Open to another major, the U.S. Open, your favorite of the four. Mike Davis, the USGA Senior Director of Rules and Competitions, is mulling another change to the U.S. Open setup. Now, he's gotten rave reviews for his graduated rough as well as his drivable par fours and movable tee box locations. He is now thinking about changing par during a tournament. Quote, "One thing I'm absolutely positive we'll do in the future is play a hole certain days as a par four and other days as a par five." He contends it wouldn't compromise what the USGA is trying to do at the Open, which is looking for the low 72-hole score. Pat, your thoughts?
It is kind of strange for us because, you know, I'm a traditionalist, and the reason I like the U.S. Open is because it's such a traditionalist type of tournament. It's very, you know, they don't play live clean in place. They have the 18-hole playoff on Monday if they're tied. They just do things a certain way, and they've always done them. Now, with that said, Mike Davis, I think, has done an absolutely spectacular job with all those things you just mentioned in terms of course setup to make it an even more exciting tournament than I think it has been in the past. So I'm not going to disagree with something a guy like that wants to do in terms of changes because what he's done so far has worked so well. With that said, and the thing with par is you're going in relation to par. So when you're talking about records or things like that in the future, you know, if a guy, you know, shoots 10 under or 11 under or somehow breaks Tiger Woods' 12 under record, it'll be in relation to par. So I don't think the record books are going to be, there are going to be any asterisks next to it if he changes par. The only thing I would be concerned about, Russ, is a lot of times when designers or course architects design greens, for par fives versus par fours, they design them differently. Usually for par fives, they make them more receptive to, you know, wedge shots or you know, an iron that's not like a four iron or a three iron because, you know, they're trying to make it more difficult. If you're going to go for it in two and you're going to hit a wood, it's going to be harder to hold the green. It's relatively minor, but I think that might be the only issue I would have. Some of these greens might be designed more to be more receptive for higher iron shots rather than lower iron shots. But with that said, I think if Mike Davis is for it, then I'm for it.
Yeah, it's hard to second guess him considering he's been so brilliant up until this point. But yes, he's thought outside of the box in a number of different situations. I think this might be a little too far outside the box. I think it's just a little too quirky for my taste. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And it's brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number three, Dateline, Ontario. Yesterday, in the Canadian Open, Mark Calcavecchia, a Palm Beach Gardens resident and Florida Gator, recorded a PGA Tour record 9 straight birdies. He opened his delayed second round with 2 pars, then reeled off 9 straight birdies. His 9 birdie putts were all from 15 feet or closer. His 15-year-old son, Eric, was on the bag for him, working this week as caddy. That's a memory that he'll never forget. Calcavecchia ended up shooting a 65 to reach 8 under par overall for the tournament. Pat, we've seen 59s shot. We've seen, obviously, here Calcavecchia going halfway with 9 straight birdies, half of the 18 holes during a round. Do you ever think we'll see a player shoot all 18 holes, make birdie at all 18 holes, shoot a 54?
I don't know about that, Rose. That would be beyond comprehension. Although, you know, I guess, like you said, if a guy can shoot 9 straight birdies, at some point somebody will shoot 10 and then, you know, maybe you'll get 11 and 12. I just think that's, you know, that's probably not in the realm of possibility, only because, you know, you're going to get a quirky bounce. You're going to get, you know, a putt that you hit really well and it hits a, you know, spike mark or some imperfection in the green. It's just, I can't believe, you know, the most I've ever had is 4 in a row, and I was extremely nervous through those 4. I can't even imagine getting 9 in a row. And being able to keep your composure through all that, but that shows you how good these guys are. But 18 in a row would be something spectacular. I don't think you need to see a 58 first before you can even start thinking about, you know, 18 in a row, because the best we've seen so far in the PGA Tour over 100 years or whatever it's been is 59. So I don't think you're going to see that, Russ, but I think you'll see somebody shoot 58 and maybe even somebody shoot 57 at some point, but 54 is a little too low, I think.
Yeah, 54 would be a phenomenal round of golf. Al Geiberger and David Duval, two of the names that have shot 59 on the PGA Tour. Annika Sorenstam, the only woman ever to shoot 59 on the LPGA Tour. Calcavecchia's 9 straight birdies broke the previous record of 8 straight, which was set by Bob Golby in 1961 and matched by Fuzzy Zoeller in 76, Dewey Arnett in 87, J.P. Hayes in 2002, and Jerry Kelly in 2003. All right, topic number four, and it regards the LPGA Tour. Of course, a couple of weeks removed from the ouster of former Commissioner Carolyn Bivens, and now a couple of news topics starting to trickle through that are portending that it's a good upward tick for the LPGA Tour. First of all, the LPGA has added a 2010 event in Acapulco. LPGA announced a 2-year deal for the 72-hole tournament at Tres Vidas Golf Club in Acapulco, Mexico. That brings to 14 the number of confirmed events for 2010, and this makes now a third event in Mexico next year for the LPGA Tour. Also, Wegmans LPGA co-chairman Jerry Stahl said, quote, "This will give us a new opportunity to talk with the LPGA, and I'm sure it will be positive," end quote, in regards to the ouster of Carolyn Bivens. 33-year LPGA events contract ended this year for the Wegmans tournament. So a couple of good news topics for the LPGA, Pat. It sounds like, you know, a lot of things in the future could be good, considering Bivens is now not in lead of the LPGA Tour.
Well, there's a bunch of things in that topic, Russ. You know, number one, going back to Mexico, I'm not really for it. I'm all for more tournaments. I think that just helps the LPGA in a sense. But I think they've got to be good quality tournaments. And going back to Mexico for the third time, again, I think your base is going to be, it should be, more United States-based. And I know that, you know, sounds U.S.-centric or egocentric, whatever the term is, but that's really where the TV market is. That's where, you know, a lot of your marketing dollars should be going. Nothing against Mexico, but I think one or two tournaments there is plenty. That's one thing. The other thing about Wegmans, that's great if you can get them back in. But it does say something to me about Carolyn Bivens as a personality more than a commissioner. If she was having that effect on sponsors from just to her personality that people didn't want to, you know, sponsor the LPGA because of her, somebody should have picked up on that a lot earlier and gotten rid of her sooner, because I was basing all of my decisions on whether Bivens should have been given the boot or not, basically just on the economy. I was willing to give her a lot of benefit of the doubt because of the economy. Now, if that's not the case, somebody should have realized sooner that she wasn't working out with the sponsors and gotten rid of her a lot sooner. With all that said, I think it's great that there's more interest in the LPGA, but I think, like we've talked about a bunch of times, they need a comprehensive plan going ahead in terms of marketing in the U.S., getting more of a schedule that is not where they play five events around the world, come to the U.S. for one event, and then they're back somewhere else overseas, so they don't get any momentum. I just think that needs to be the approach for the LPGA going forward, where, hey, you've got a lot of Koreans, you've got a lot of, obviously with Lorena Ochoa, there's popularity in Mexico, but figure out a way to parcel up that schedule so you take the benefit of those entities within the tour and get exposure for that, but at the same time have a schedule that has some flow to it in the United States and you know, get the U.S. market back on board here.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Pat. One of our problems here on the show for a number of years has been the increasing tournaments. Now, you got to go where the money is, and you got to go where you're wanted, but I still think they've gone way too overboard as far as tournaments outside the contiguous U.S., and I would like to see more tournaments here stateside, assuming that there is interest from different sponsors. But regardless, the news, these two topics, obviously proof that there is good news in the wake of the removal of Carolyn Bivens, and that just proves that she, you know, obviously she was not the right person for the job, and I think the LPGA Tour is moving in the right direction here following her removal, and hopefully we'll hear news soon of whoever her replacement is, and we'll go from there. But obviously they need new leadership and they need strong leadership moving into 2010 and beyond for the LPGA Tour. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic, and that was our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa. Pat, thanks so much for joining me this morning. I will see you next week here in the studio, and safe travels coming back to town from Orlando.
Thanks, Russ. I'll say hello to Mickey for you.
All right, there he is, my esteemed co-host, Pat Rooney Jr., joining us live from Orlando, Florida, where he is vacationing this weekend with the family. Russ Evans with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic on this gorgeous Sunday morning in South Florida. Up next, we're going to talk with Barry Goldstein of the Barry Goldstein Golf Academy at Inverary Golf Club in Lauderhill. Talk about swing changes, how to improve your golf game, how to go about making drastic and necessary swing changes while still trying to play on a regular basis. Perhaps maybe you shouldn't be playing on a regular basis. Perhaps during a swing change you need to hit the driving range more and play fewer rounds of golf until you get all the changes worked out. Barry Goldstein joining me up next. Russ Evans with you. This is Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic.